So, events of a week ago changed what I'd planned on doing for the next few weeks. We in this room, and I'll just go ahead and hit this now. Put some numbers down here. You make up an extreme minority of people. There are, what is it, 7 billion people on the planet, 8 billion, something like that now. About 2.9, I think it is, maybe 2.7, are believers in Jesus in some form or fashion, whether that be Catholics or Protestants, Orthodox Church, or whatever the case is. About 1.6 billion are Catholic Orthodox, 900 million are Protestants. So the reason I start off with this is because that means the majority of not only the world, but Christendom has no idea what's going on. Because, I don't know how much you know this, but the vast majority of Christian denominations have replacement theology mindsets. All of them, not just Catholic. The Orthodox do, Presbyterians do, the Methodists do, the Lutherans do. Everybody does except for the Baptists, Charismatics, and the Pentecostals. And that's a very small minority. And I just made up some numbers real quick. Rough, I didn't have time to get down to the specifics, but that means less than 2% of the overall population, but less than 10% of the Christian population understands what's going on. What? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. I was wondering what he was pointing at. Here comes the lights. So that means just 2% of the world and 10% of Christendom. They view, that means the majority of them think Israel's in the wrong. That Israel is the occupier. So when people say, well, you know, we talk about all this stuff too much. We don't. And you may think that we do, but that's because you live in the world that understands. So you think we, because if you just hold a certain mindset, then you live in that mindset, then you're going to think this is all that they talk about, this is all that they believe, this is all that the world is. Like what Scott was talking about, the kids, the children in Gaza are raised that way, raised to be hateful. And so they think everything that is happening today is because of Israel's fault, because that's all they've been taught. And so people don't know. And because we talk about what's been happening and what's been going on in the world, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, 50 years if you want to get back to when really the ball really got rolling with Hal Lindsey's book and these different things about prophecy, we go, man, it just seemed to be, no, it's because you live in the circle that is the small circle that's talking about these things and that has the understanding of these things. And when people get kind of tired about prophetic talk, you realize that the prophecies took decades to come to pass on Israel. We sit here and read, oh, Jeremiah prophesied. Oh, look, there's the Assyrians. Wow, that was a quick afternoon. Decades before those things came to pass. So if it seems like people in this nation and around the world have been talking about it, one, because you live in the small circle that understands, and it takes a while to manifest. So just realize how small of a circle you live in and how much understanding you have. Okay, what I was going to do today was to start, I just felt like I needed to start weaving, I'm going to use a fancy scholarly term called hermeneutics, which is a fancy way of saying how to study the Bible. There are different ways that you need to know how to read and how to study, because too many times people just sit down and read the Bible and they don't know what half of it's saying. And I have a friend who I quite argue with on a regular basis, and you're like, well, is that like all your friends? Pretty much, but this one specifically, because he's left the faith. He's become a deconstructionist, and now he mocks things because he says the Bible is written by men and hard to understand. And so I've responded several times ago, if you would take a course, if you would read a book, you would learn how to read that thing. Now, the basic things are pretty easy to understand. It's real easy to go, hey, I don't need any interpretive process on know not to steal, lie, commit adultery. But I wanted to just kind of do some sermons and then weave some of those things, not make it a course. And so being with Bever Sheet, one of the things I was going to start with is there's a lot of people that have really bitten off into not just gematria, numerology, but also have really dove into this pictorial meaning and all of these things. A friend of mine who was instrumental in when I was a young man in the Lord gave me a book on some of these things about how each one of the Hebrew letters mean a specific thing. You know, the Aleph and the ox and the Beit means a house and the Dalet means a door and all of that stuff. I was going to kind of blow that out of the water. So I'm going to do that later because it's not true stuff. And what it does is it creates this idea and these hidden things that are not there. They're just not there. And I was going to kind of do a message on, and I'm going to do the short message here on, in the beginning, and we are starting over again, we do have a new year, and what I want you to ask yourself is, what are you working on? So when you were praying and repenting and seeking God during the fall feast, there should have been something that God said, hey, you need to work on this. Because nobody's perfect, not one. And it doesn't necessarily mean big things, just little things where things needed to work on. Like God said, I need to work on my humility because He said I was extraordinarily too humble and I needed to raise it up a little bit. That's my ongoing joke, right? But there's something that we all need to work on, right? So in Genesis 2, in verse 15, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep the garden. And the word for tend there is aved, which means a servant or a slave. And the word to keep it is shamar, so to guard it. And you need to ask yourself, what is it that God's asking you to tend? What are you supposed to be taking care of now? Okay, that's the message for today, because everything has got to be, we should always be doing self-reflection, always. Even though we're just like, dude, we just came 3 weeks out of this, right? Okay, well then what did God show you? So now that we're in this new cycle of the new year, what are you working on and self-reflecting over? And that's part of the reason why you see a lot of this Hebrew play on words, where if you guard and keep the Word of God, shamar the Word of God, shema the Word of God, hear and do it, and then you protect and guard what it is that God has given you, then you don't have to worry about snakes getting in the garden. So there's a lot of this kind of play on that kind of stuff. So what is it that you're working on? All right, and I'm doing this because I want to lay a foundation before I get into what we really need to talk about is some of the prophetic stuff in light of today's events. It may or may not be prophetic. So, for example, in Genesis 4:26, it says that the men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And I had a guy that was at the old congregation in Sherwood there, Keilah, he was a hyper sacred namer. And he would always quote this verse. And we had a guy who's since passed, Dr. Brad Scott, come and teach. And I'm going to get to the other meaning of this here in a minute that's going to... I was afraid to use this because it might cause you to not listen to the rest of what I got to say. But when it says that the men began to call on the name of the Lord there, it actually means to defile. It's the beginning of the defiling of the name of God. That's what was happening there. That word was not used to say that they're now calling. And I was like, look, man, I get it that you're about a sacred namer, but why don't you look at the other definitions of the words, right? Okay, and here's the part that I was talking about. Genesis 6:1. You're like, you're going to do it? Yes, I'm going to do it. It's only going to be 2 minutes. Then it says, it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. Same place. Dr. Brad Scott was the first person to introduce me to this, that these first times that this word's used, where we see begin, is not meaning they're beginning to do something. It's they were beginning to defile something. So there they were beginning to defile the name. Now they're beginning to defile the creation. But again, I make the point, who was defiling? Men were defiling. All right. Genesis 6:4. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. Causes us all kinds of great discussions, right? Okay, let's read this slightly differently. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. We read that most of the time where it says that the one that went into the daughters created the giants. But this can also be read that the giants were on the earth in those days. When were they on the earth? At the time that the men went into the daughters and began to defile. And that's not one sentence. So this is not about this topic, okay? I'm trying to lay a foundation here. Because you're like, and this is why I was hesitant about using it. Because right now, all the hyper Nephilim guys are going, dude, don't you be touching my doctrine now. Why have people gravitated towards the book of Enoch in our time? Why do people not trust the early fathers of the church? Why were there certain reasons that they didn't include books? Enoch being one of them. And they cite one thing. Oh, the Ethiopian church had it. Okay, great. Well, they had all kinds of other books too. Are we going to include all of those? No, we include the book of Enoch. Why? Because it fits a narrative. It fits a belief. It confirms what it is that we believe. Well, did you know that a guy named Cain had a son named Enoch too? That's in this portion. We think Enoch, oh, well, that was the Enoch that was taken. And so this was the divine revelation that was given to the holy Enoch before he ascended. It's not. It's called an apocalyptic pseudepigraphal book. That means somebody borrowed the name and then wrote an apocalyptic fabricated story. It was not written by Enoch. Is it possible that maybe in the spirit realm they named it after the bad Enoch and that's why they got hidden revelation? Hidden revelation that is often not biblical? Okay, here's the reason I say all this. There are some things in the scriptures that are absolutely clear. One of my favorite Mosleyisms is when the scripture says that you have no need that any man would teach you, right, that the Holy Ghost will need teach you all these things, there are certain aspects of that scripture are true. And one of the things he used to say was, even a monkey knows not the monkey with another monkey's monkey. That was the technical term for don't commit adultery. That's common sense. That's not yours. Don't steal it. Don't touch it. I don't need any interpretive in that. Scripture is very easy to understand in a very simple way. But if we could have decades-long arguments about Nephilim, about other words, how on earth can we say we can be so emphatic about future things? We can't. When we can look back in history, we can look back at the language, and we can look back at these things that we already have written for us that have happened, that have been fulfilled, we can't be dogmatic about what's happening today. I'm going to tell you, I think this is very significant, and I think it's very, 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 very big and very, very biblical. But the reason I felt that I had to shift is because I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and I heard all of the, this is it, this is it, this is it. Okay? We can't know that. And there's two things I want to get out of this today. Take a breath. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel, because what happened to them is very traumatic. It would be the numerical equivalent of about 35,000 Americans being taken, being killed. That would infuriate us. If you're not infuriated, you need to ask yourself why, because they are our brothers. One of the proudest things that I ever had said is when we started Key Lot, one of the guys I texted to check on named Tal, he was one of the guys that I trained, and he came to several of the services, and the Hebrew class and the Purim service and stuff. And so right before he left, when he was getting ready to head back to Israel, I said, is there anything that we did in our services or said that it was inappropriate, offensive, and all of that? And he said, yeah. Or first he said, no. And then he said, well, he goes, no, wait, yeah. He goes, still gets me. He goes, you keep saying you're not Jewish. I said, yeah. He goes, you're one of us. He goes, the love that you have for us and the Word of God, you're one of us. And I was just like, thank you, Pete. Because we should have that connection. If you are a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if you've not been emotionally affected by this week, then you need to self-reflect. And I know that's not true in this room. And that's okay to be angry. I was pretty furious at some point. Casey had to ask me several times. He's like, "You okay?" I was like, "Yeah, if I wasn't fat, old, and out of shape, I'd be getting on an airplane right now." We also have to be careful in our interpretive process of when we over-symbolize things. And we lose the original context. We also lose some of the historical context. And that has happened a lot with prophetic things. All right? And this applies tenfold with prophecy, okay? So, now to address what I really need to address today. Is this the beginning of everything that the Bible's been spoken about? One of the guys I watch, and this is the guy that I reference quite a bit, his name's John Haller. He's the lawyer guy. The reason I reference that part is because he's very methodical in his approach on things. He's not hyperbolic. He's not sensational. He takes a very lawyerly approach to things and says, and I got to meet him. I drove up to meet him when I was in Ohio. I'm originally from Cincinnati. I visited my family. I think it was last Christmas. It may have been the last Christmas before, but he lives in Columbus. That's where he does a show out of. So I drove up there one Sunday morning because I wanted to go hear his update, meet him, shake his hand, and just tell him how much I appreciated what he does. And when he started the show off this past week, last Sunday, he says, "If there's ever a time, he said, if there's ever been a doubt, the time in which we live," he goes, "that should now be over." And I think he's right. But we have to be careful going, let's go to this chapter, let's go to this verse, let's go to this story, and let's read that. Okay, I'm going to do some of that, but I'm going to try and contextualize some of it and then talk about where things are at. Because I think that if the pastors aren't doing this today, but we're staying numb. Because whether it is the end or not, yes, I believe it is about to get very sporty. And if you can't see that, I don't know what else to show you. All right. So I wrote it down this way. Is this the beginning of Ezekiel 38, Psalms 83, Zechariah 12, or anything in Daniel? Right? Or is it just another war, like the Yom Kippur War, or the ongoing Middle East saga? So this started the day after the 50-year anniversary of Yom Kippur. It also started on the last day of Sukkot, the great day, Shana Rabbah, can be translated to read the great salvation. When Billy and I were talking about the things leading up to this year, I said, if all the other stuff that we've kind of seen, then something's going to happen this year. I told my girls, I said, something's going to happen this fall. You got to be ready, because I said, something, I don't know what it is, but something's happening. And then when we got towards the end, we were like, well, guess not. Well, I guess so. So which one is it? Or is it any of them? Yeshua said there would be wars and rumors of wars. And it also, he said, it would be like in the days of Noah. So when it says in the days of Noah, it says that the earth was covered with violence. Who knows what that word means? You guys are the super minority again. It means Hamas. It means violence. That's the word that's translated there. Violence. Hamas. You know, and I know people laugh at me when I say, look, God is so good. He's been warning the world that the last trump is about to sound, that he even put an orange president that the whole world would know and hear his name. That's how good God is. I think I'm being sarcastic. God named the prophets, named their children to let them know. I don't think it's an accident. All right, first I'm going to say this. You know, I hit some of this stuff on Daniel. By the way, we're going to run late today, so just get comfortable. Most of Daniel has been fulfilled. I really believe that. And most of it was fulfilled by the time of Yeshua's birth. And it only has marginal things to do with the end. And whatever it may have, it has shadows or parallels, not specific things. We have to be careful. For example, like if we believe that we're within the next 7 to 8, 10 years or whatever of things happening, then this is one of the few things that Billy and I disagree about. Very few. And Daniel 7 is one of them. And I can't see Daniel 7 being futuristic simply because it's four empires that would have to rise and fall over the next 7 to 4 years. And it's just, that's not possible. So that's historic. Now, what is futuristic to that is those are things are all a conglomerate in Revelation 13, and they make up the end times nations. Daniel 8, if you could put that picture up of the leaders of Erdogan and Putin and them, okay? So Daniel 8, there's been too many prophecy guys that tried to say that was future. In order for that to be a future prophecy, that means that that guy in the middle would have to go to war with that guy on to his right. That was about the Greece Empire that, as it clearly says, split into four. And it tells us specifically that it went after the Medo-Persia. That's what happened. So in order for that to happen today, these guys that are in unity would have to go to war with one another. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. It could very clearly happen. But now, if they're going to go to war, then we got a lot of things to happen over the next few years and empires and all that. However, what makes this very interesting for those who have been studying? Ezekiel 38. They all represent the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38. That's something that you should go, well, that's interesting. And you should keep an eye on that. Also, guess who their best friends are? Hamas and Hezbollah. What you need to watch to happen over the next few weeks, if all of this is about to start rolling, is, and you need to know right now, all of the Israeli flags and everybody that's waving are going to start hiding them. The world's going to turn on Israel. We had Casey got a text from a lady that she worked with that said, hey, this my neighbor put out a Palestinian flag. I'm getting ready to put out my Israeli flag. Do I need to say a blessing before we hang it? We're like, nope, but you might want to go strapped. You might want to be ready. There's a good, that's one of the things that this is going to do. There is going to come a time where God's going to go, this is the fence, get off of it. And Israel is going to be the divider for the people who stand with the people of God. That is coming, all right? So, as Israel presses in to Gaza and do what they need to do, when the pictures start coming out, because Hamas is a bunch of cowards, and they hid behind all of a bunch of children in hospitals, and they're gonna parade the children out that Israel accidentally killed. And then the world's gonna go, you need to stop. They're gonna tell Israel, you need to stop. And I really hope Mr. Netanyahu uses a bunch of hashtags and ampersands and a couple other things and says, shut up, I'm not stopping. And then shows them, I want you to show you what they did to my children. Do not talk to me. My response would have been, you got 72 hours to get to Egypt, and then if not, you're going to glow. I mean, I just would not have tolerated the wickedness that they have done. And they're not. That's why they immediately formed a unity government, and that's why these people are flying from around the world to get back to their homeland, and that's why they're going to war, because this was so wicked. We're going to talk more about that next week. Well, put the slide up of the nations. So those are the nations that, and if you need to, you can shut row two down or one, whichever one it is. The lights, there you go. Uh-oh, we lost it. All right, so those are the Ezekiel 38 nations, and we're going to talk more about that specifically next week, because if there's anything that's about to happen, I think it's that. But time will tell. So we got to watch, because when Israel goes in, now I personally think that this is part of a larger plan. Because if it would have happened, the first thing I would have said, get the people in the south protected, and to my commanders up north, I would have said, keep an eye up north. Keep an eye on Syria, keep an eye on Lebanon. Because right now, Israel's moving about 300,000 people down to the south. That exposes potentially the north to some things, and that's already kind of started. Some reports on the news this morning were already saying that there was more and more shelling and stuff coming in from the north. So I expect that to increase. When Israel finally gets mad enough and they really start unleashing the real power, because remember, they're still trying to be surgical. They're still doing the right thing. For those who don't know, I know many of you do, they send out text messages. They drop leaflets to say you got minutes to get out. And so, why? Because Torah demands that they're supposed to let the enemy know that they're coming to battle. So you're supposed to, basically it's to let them know that, hey, God's on our side. You got a chance to repent because we're getting ready to kill every single one of you. That's just how they roll. All right. So we'll talk more about that next week. The other thing that's also very interesting is the Damascus 17 thing that people have been talking about. All of those nations are now in play. And how fast did this change? It's one of the other things I've said for years, that one day we will wake up and go, the world has changed, or the world is at war. And it's changed, and it's just getting started, okay? Please be aware, but do not be afraid. Because remember, Ben said it, that when Yeshua said, when these things begin to happen, you're supposed to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to have our heads up, because that means that it's coming. And one of the other things that John Howler says, that Billy and I quote one another when things are getting crazy, is go, what do you think the end times were supposed to look like? Right? We have this idea that we were just going to go sing Kumbaya, we're going to dance around, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, the Lord's back. There's another theological view that some of you may not be aware of. Some people believe and teach that when Yeshua returns, he's not going to split the eastern sky and just land on the Mount of Olives. That he is going to do that, but he's going to do that and then gather the armies, and then we will all physically go fight with him. And you can read some of those scriptures in it, and that you could read that into some of those. So it's not something that I've totally doubted, but I don't think he needs our help, right? Because I think when it happens, it's going to be pretty violent, and he can take care of it himself. So I don't think that's going to be the case. Also, next week will be a Zechariah 12 through 14, because that's got some interesting implications as well. Okay, is this the beginning of the Psalm 83 war? How many of people have heard that? Okay, I'm going to read it for you. Psalms 83, not all of it, just the beginning part of it. Let's see. Jeremiah, lost my place. Where are you at? Okay. Do not keep silent, O God, and do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head, and they have taken crafty counsel against your people, and have consulted together against your sheltered ones. And they have said, come and let us cut off them from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent to form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, Moab, and the Hagrites, Gibal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia, and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot. If you would put the next one up that deals... Okay, so those are the names mentioned in the song, in the this what we just read. So we can't say that this is the case of what's happening right now, because this would include Egypt, parts of Saudi, parts of Jordan. However, there was a war that transpired in 1948 that did encompass all of those people. So if you put that next one up about the... those are all of the nations that came against Israel in 1948. And so they did have a confederacy against basically every single one of those nations, and those areas were involved. So I tend to lean towards that was the fulfillment of the Psalms 83 war. Now, it may be wrong, and it may be future, but in order for that to be future, then that means Jordan's got to get involved, and that means Saudi's got to get involved. Basically, everybody's got to get involved. Well, everybody was involved in 1948. So that's just where I'm at on that. So there's a lot of Psalms 83 people running around right now. We don't know, but I don't think so. I think that one's done, and that's when I think it was done. All right. And some people didn't learn a lesson, because in 67, Jordan said, well, we didn't like the whooping we got in 48. And so they got another whooping in 67, and then Egypt didn't like the whooping that they got in 48, so they took another one in 73. And but I will say this, and I'll get more into it next week with the Zechariah thing. There's going to come a time where I think that texting, signal apping, communication, will be the past, and that we will have to be here together on our face, fasting and weeping for Israel. Because it is my belief they're going to be pushed to the absolute limit. And that's what I think Zechariah 12 speaks of. And so this is I think, is only going to get more exciting, and I don't mean that in a good way. Okay, this war has the possibility to ignite everything. And that's because of what I just said about Hamas, about Hezbollah, and then about the Iran and Russia and Turkey involvements. Russia basically come out and said it almost like this. That's what you get for supporting Ukraine. That's what they said to Israel. They said it in a more diplomatic way, but that's basically what they said. So if, and you also have to wonder the conversations that were being had behind closed doors when they said, look, we've been telling you about Iran. And when Israel has all of the text, all of the emails, all of the traffic in hand that says Iran's fingerprints are all over this, at what point are they going to go and throw it on the desk at the White House and go, if they had had a bomb, we'd all be dead? So there's a chance that Israel could get preemptive on this when they get done doing what they got to do in Gaza. And rightfully so. Now, when they cross nations, or maybe diplomatically they're going to America, you need to handle this, because I'm going to handle it, but it'll be less heat if you do it. So they maybe that, but that conversation needs to happen, because, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but every nuclear weapon is not like that old 1980s War Games movie, where it's a building missile, right, that is 80 feet or 100 feet tall. Nuclear warheads are the size of that thing right there. They can put them in the trunk of a car. They're not very big. So they don't have to tie it to the end of a big missile and loss it over the continent. So I think that could potentially make this go out of hand, is when they go after Iran. And that's when Russia and Turkey go, hey, we had an alignment with those guys. That's why I say it could wrap pretty quick. Well, what else could happen? China goes, hey, those guys are kind of busy right now. How you doing, Taiwan? Right, I don't know why they haven't done it yet. I mean, I'd be doing it just because we got a president that trips every five steps, right? Now, I will give him props. He gave a great speech. His response was great. Right, but if he backs it up, his response was very great. All right, so was Mr. Blinken's, the Secretary of State. He said, now this is the part that is also kind of spooky, because he said, as long as America exists, we will support Israel. I'm not sure he just didn't prophesy that, because there's going to come a time we don't exist, that we won't be able to be there. Why? Part of next week. All of the world has to come against Israel, because everybody's going to continue to say, it's America, it's America, it's America. God gets no glory out of that. We get the blessing out of being the defenders of the people of Israel, but that doesn't prove that God's protecting them. What's going to protect them when the entire globe goes after that little speck of dirt and they all lose? And then it says that they're all going to declare that God is God. That's why it's going to get intense. Now, whether that builds up out of this or not, we don't know, right? Because we ain't even talking, and I'm not really getting into it, about seven-year covenants and tribulation period and Antichrist stuff and all of that. I mean, how does all of this play? This is why, and I love one of John Howler's little jokes. Hey, when people, I heard two jokes, one will get hisses. So when it says in Revelation why there were silence in heaven for 30 minutes, I saw a guy put out a video that said it proves that only men get raptured. No, there will be no women up there. Now, that's funny. Right, right. That was funny. But what John Holler said was, the reason there's silence in heaven for 30 minutes is because all the prophecy teachers are going to be updating their charts. When things start happening differently than how they expected. So, he said, we will always be there to defend Israel as long as America exists. As soon as he said that, I went, Is it possible? You know, there's some people, and you got to be careful with this stuff, because this goes into the conspiracy stuff. But it's also, you can't be foolish to not deny that there's been a lot of people coming across our border for a long time. And you could very easily see something's happening here that would then cause us not to be able to focus our attention on our friends Israel. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Jeremiah 51, when it was prophesying about Babylon, he told God, prophesied and said to Babylon, he said, I will fill you with men as with locusts. That's what he did. He came in, people came in under the walls and destroyed Babylon from the inside out. This is the part that, we as a congregation and you as a believing body have to decide what we're going to do and, how are you going to prepare yourself for difficult times. Because it can happen that fast. That's how fast this world has just changed. There were people who were in college and had jobs a week and a half ago who are now on airplanes or already in Israel and they're going to fight for their homeland. The world can change that fast. And I, again, I think this is just going to continue. This morning, Fox had a story that said that Saudi has moved on. A week and a half ago, there were about to be historic agreements between Saudi and Israel. And Saudi has said that they have moved on from that agreement now and are now going to be focusing on dealing with Iran because they know Israel is going to be busy for a little bit. We also don't know if if Saudi's plan was, subversive. So we don't know because they're not friends. You know, it's just, hey, I got to deal with these people. You know, we can't seem to whoop them. So I guess we'll just try to be nice to them until we get the upper hand again. That's actually a law in Islam. That you can lie and steal and cheat and do whatever it takes to get the upper hand. And it's a command for them not to go to war when the enemy appears strong, because if you lose, it will diminish the name of their God. So if they just sneak in and go, hey, we got a peace deal with you guys. Well, now that they see what's going on, they moved on from it. Well, what was very interesting, what did Mr. Netanyahu say just a week and a half ago, when 2 weeks ago when he was talking about this deal? He said this will be historic and it will be a time of peace and safety, peace and prosperity in our time. Well, he almost quoted exactly Thessalonians when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. So that's why I say we have to be careful, but when they start, that's when you can go, So that's been changed. And I think that as this continues to expand, because eventually as all of the Hamas guys, you know, die, and then eventually Hezbollah and potentially Iran. I don't know if Iran will get more involved. There was another report, but you got to be careful with the reports now, because they've already got groups in Syria. How many of you know that we have military men, U.S. military men in Syria? Right, there's bases there, right? So that's the ISIS stuff and all that stuff. That fight's been going on. I was training a guy just a couple months ago, and he was talking about the stuff that they were doing there. There's just a lot going on, right? And it's so funny because when I jokingly say this a lot, because whenever I get texts and stuff from the girls or the wife asking questions, I keep going, man, you guys really don't listen to me, do you? The CEO of J.P. Morgan said this may be the most dangerous time that the world has seen in decades. The economy was already fragile, and this could be one of those other things that spirals out. And the reason I bring that up, because in order for there to be a global currency, in order for there to be a global government, there has to be a complete and total collapse of the total global world order. We don't know if this is it. I'm just telling you this has the potential scenario. I personally have a hard time believing that this is going to be Yom Kippur, right? That this is going to be, well, that was a three-week war, and we pushed back Hamas, and now this is over again. Simply because of the brutality of what they did. And I think that from this point forward, Israel goes, we do not have a negotiating partner. We are not even talking two states anymore. I think that they that do not. And that's why everything that you ever thought was going to happen has now changed. It just has. And so that's why the prophecy guys are all going to be scrambling, right? Because it's going to start changing. So if this turns into the next world war, then out of that, it is my belief that the next financial and global order will arise. What's the pattern? The end of World War I, the League of Nations came. At the end of World War II, the United Nations came. And at the end of World War III, everybody's going to be screaming, peace, peace, peace. Who knows how many are going to pass in that process, but the world's going to be begging, and over a shot, people were willing to give up their freedoms. Don't stick me with that. I'll give you whatever you want. Or wait, stick me with that and I'll give you whatever you want. It's going to be different when they're burying the bodies and people are going to go, hey man, whatever you need, you can have it. We just want peace. And they're going to be willing to give up all their freedoms. The Americans will fold. They just will. Now, sure is very interesting that this stuff is starting to coincide right now with some of these other things that we mentioned. And then 6 months from now, a certain group of red heifers are about to be ready. That's interesting. There was a prophet named Henry Gruver, who've heard of him. He gave a word years ago that said when Israel enters Gaza, he said, know that the last end times war has begun. That was interesting. And we had an eclipse today. A comet just popped out of nowhere back in the spring that just kind of passed through. And we got another major eclipse coming in the spring. It's going to cross right over our house. Kind of cool. Now, I was listening to a guy on a podcast, and he was talking about, he said, if you've never been in the absolute center of one of those, he goes, it is actually a very spiritual and emotional thing. He said, because when you go from the straight middle of the day to complete darkness, he goes, we went with a group of people to go to where the last one passed over. And he said, people started weeping and they started repenting in the middle of this thing. He goes, it was kind of strange. He goes, because nobody was preaching the gospel. He said, but because it was such an awe-inspiring event. So, who knows? Just saying it. That's interesting. Signs, why? Well, Josephus records that before the destruction of a temple, there was a comet that was seen over that area for several months. So, are these signs that we've kind of gotten used to and we just kind of poo-poo away now because it's all science, right? Well, that's just part of the cycle, you know. It comes around every 50,000 years. I'd like to see that clock. How do you measure that? Anyway, there's a lot. We're going to wait to see, and I'll get into the more details of Ezekiel next week in Zechariah 12. Again, I'm not sure about the Psalms 83. I think it was the past, but we need to be sober and be ready because I personally believe this is going to expand. This is going to get very large, and I think it could potentially expand into the world. Just because I'm waiting, we've had many military leaders, a guy that I used to work with when he was a lieutenant and I was an airman, he got in a little trouble. Well, I don't know that, but I assume he did because he's a four-star general. And he came back through training, I got to chat with him a little bit, and he's now the commander of the Air Mobility Command. And it made the news. He came out and said that America will be at war with China by 2024, 2025. And I'm sure, you know, four-star generals don't say things like that, okay? Because if he did, and he didn't talk to nobody, that's how I can say he got in trouble. So it was either very great wisdom, and if you don't understand, a four-star general is probably the equivalent of about 3 PhDs, right? By the time they can even become a lieutenant colonel, they've already got their master's degree. They go to war college, which is basically their first PhD equivalent. They study war. So when Isaiah says, you will not learn it anymore, there are people who study war. I mean, you could argue that that's what I teach. I teach them how to load airplanes in combat, but, you know, right. So it's an aspect of it. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? This is what I'll close with, first closing. What are we to do? How do we to prepare? First, you got to be ready to give an answer. And it's not a fearful answer. It is my belief that there is not a pre-tribulational rapture, and there's going to be a whole lot of Baptists running around very upset, and some Pentecostals, and some Charismatics. Apart from that, you got to be ready to give an answer for what you believe and back up scripturally. Please be cautious with saying that this is that war and that war. Time will tell. And the guys that I've been speaking with at work and go, well, it's a possibility that it could be this and it could be that. And I'll tell them, just like I told you, I think it's going to spin up. I think it's going to get a lot worse. Whether or not this is the war that pushes Israel, you know, because I do believe Israel. There are two schools of thought. One is God's going to just open the eyes of the people of Israel and then the revival will come. The other school of thought is they're going to have one foot in the sea and the other one on the land of Israel. And then it's at that point they'll make the declaration. We don't know. Time will tell. All right. I believe that America's global and financial power is coming to an end. That's what is factual. Whether it's the end of time, when you start seeing all of the other pieces play, that's where you start going, well, that's a sure coincidental. Very strong statement. Right, right. Now it's happening. You will never come back from $33 trillion in debt and you can never come back. Even if one didn't believe in God, that's financially impossible. And when you have a nation that hates itself, right? We are training the next generation to hate this nation, and they are some of the most immoral people. Not the youth. I'm just saying you see such immorality. So that's why you really have to make sure that you're preparing yourself, both mentally, spiritually, and financially. Does that mean when all of this happens that we're going to turn into the Mad Max movies, right? Where it could. I mean, people are flipping stores upside down right now just for funsies. They can go eat when they go home, but right now they're stealing and from multiple stores. For crying out loud, in some cities they're locking up toothpaste, right? And they don't even need it yet. What do you think is going to happen when it gets hard? I think it's going to be bad. I really do. So what are we supposed to do as a community? Supposed to bug out? Well, Billy and I have discussed this for years. We initially, 7 years ago now, I think it was, that we started planning with some other families. By now we would have orchards and acres, but the whole thing got blowed up. And we are still not sure whether or not that was God saying, hey, you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to bring manna. I'm going to bring water. You don't need to do that. Or did the enemy get in the midst of all of that because it was going to be a haven? There's an entire community in Northwest Arkansas, like thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. They got doctors, they got schools, and all that kind of stuff. So there's people that have this mentality. One of them is called Ark Haven. The other one's called Shofar Mountain. And they've been like super preparing. And that's not... Huh? Right. You could. There's a guy that I won't talk about that guy anymore. Never mind. And I'm not sure that that's necessary either, because one of the things that he and I have discussed is whether or not, if God blew it up, that means he wants us to be in the middle of the fight. And so if it's the end times fight, then that's the answer. Then that's the obvious answer. But if it's surviving within the midst of a falling and collapsed nation, that's a different answer. Because you got to protect your family, you got to protect your community. And so I'm not advocating that just yet, but you have to decide amongst yourselves, what is it? If you want to talk about that, we can talk about that. And I've heard several people say, we're coming to your house. Don't show up empty-handed. I'm being serious. Because when all of that fell apart, and the whole thing with the other groups of families that we were going to do, I said, fine. So we immediately bought a house out in the country, a quarter of the size that I could afford, land, well, and then when the other property came available next door, I bought that one. Another well. Matt lives on that part. And then when the one on the other side of that came available, I bought that one. Because I told him, I still believe this, whether God hasn't told me to not be prepared. So I'm still getting prepared. And if that's your plan, and you want to talk about that, do not show up at my house empty-handed. I'm dead serious, because that means you're stealing from my family, my preparations. If you show up with a truckload of goods, we're good to go. Now, if you want to do that, we'll have that conversation. But I'm not sure that that's the answer. I'm just telling you, I believe things are going to get tough, and so that's why we've moved to do what we've done. And you decide what you want to do. But I'm still wondering, if it is the end, what is that going to start looking like, and how do we survive in the midst of all of that? Because there's another school of thought, is we're waiting for the second Exodus. And there's the other aspect of that teaching is we're going with Israel when they go back to the land. There's going to be another group of mixed multitudes. Jeremiah 16 and 21 talks about that. So is it possible there's a reason that you don't need to be prepared? Because when they start opening up all of Israel to the Jews, because they now have no place to hide, because that's one of the things they said, we ain't got nowhere else to go. That's why we're going to fight to the death for this. You know, they've got the Samson option, all that stuff. They're not going into captivity again, right? That's why this will get far worse before it ever happens, you know, anything else. But if there is another Exodus, are we throwing on some sandals and a staff and going, can we come with you? Because there's a guy named Jeremy Gimpel, was part of the Land of Israel Network, who's been coming through here. We had him here twice. had him in Sherwood once. And his whole mission at the time he was coming through was to warn the Jews of Israel to get out. That was me. I cannot believe I didn't silence my phone. Yeah. I don't know who that is. And he said his whole mission was to go around America to warn the American Jews to get out. He's not a believer. He said, because when America falls, they're going to blame the Jews. Because that's what the world does. It's what they've done throughout history. It's your fault. When the financial system collapses, who do they say has all the money? Who runs all the banks? Who runs Hollywood? Who runs politics? They're going to blame the Jews. That's what's going to happen. Now, whether or not when they start doing that, we're going, we're with you guys. Can we come with you? We have to wait and see. So you need to pray and seek what the Lord wants you to do. If he just says, get you a staff and some sandals, I recommend good soled shoes, right? I wouldn't recommend sandals. Again, let's have this conversation. We can have it today. We can have it tomorrow. I just want you to be aware that there are a lot of things going on, and it's just now manifested. But there are still a lot of people that are going, that's just Israel, man. They fight every 5 or 10 years. They don't realize the gravity of this one and how different this is in light of an already extremely unstable world. So do not be afraid. You can be a little anxious. Being afraid is not a problem. You know, when people talk about people who are fearless, no, they're fearful, but they just go through with it anyway. So let's pray and then we'll talk. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we just thank you for this time together. We also thank you for helping us to be aware in the sobriety of the situation here, that your people, whom you preserved for the last 2,000, 3,000 years, you've brought them home. And the adversary doesn't like that. He's furious because he knows that if he can bring them to an end, he can call you a liar. And so we know as we prayed and as we worshiped that this is a spiritual battle. Help us to have our eyes, our ears, our spirits in tune with what it is that you're doing. Reveal to us what it is that we're supposed to do, first and foremost, and not be afraid. But to really just have a deep level of excitement because you are about to close the story of stories. And help us to have that level of excitement, ready to meet our King. But help us to not be deceived. Yeshua warned us several times about that. To not be deceived. So help us to be sober as we're reading your scriptures and praying and asking for guidance so that we don't fall into the latest story, the latest myth, the latest end times teaching, the latest new revealed revelation. We go, no, we're staying firm with what the Spirit of God has shown us. We don't want to be deceived because we know that's going to increase when more and more fear and anxiety and more chaos starts happening around the world. But just give us the wisdom and revelation and understanding so that we know whether we're supposed to turn left, right, or just stand still. So we bless you for this time together in Yeshua's name. Amen. Anybody got any questions? Anything that they want to say? I know it's just the times we're at. It's just serious. And I just wanted to say, this can go several ways. I will be very, very surprised if it's another Yom Kippur-type period where it just goes blip. But I don't see that happening.
The world is going to react at any level.
Yeah. Yep. And so we can talk about it during dinner. We can talk about it more in the study and not just follow what the annual reading cycle is, because it's a lot to talk about. And if not, who's doing the Iranic? You, I think.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Since you don't check your email. I mean...